And now it's time for words and pictures.
In the beginning, I was an idea, a junction between two nerve cells, consisting of a minute gap across which impulses pass by diffusion of a neurotransmitter. Random sequences of events allow my physical form to take shape. I was strong enough to leave the being that created me. As I descended through what only a sentient and cognizant individual can describe as life, I began to realize there was going to be nothing to break my fall.
That was a clip from the short film Individual by Nathan Sonnenfeld. Hello and welcome to Words and Pictures, the show all about the narrative arts scene. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and we are live today in the studio with a jam-packed show all about the local animation scene. We have Ben Chapin. Ben is doing a little festival over at the Po' Boy Art Gallery, and it's called Overlapping Action. And we're also joined, we're delighted to be joined again by Rose Bond. Rose is doing the Biennial Boundary Crossings Animation Festival at the Pacific Northwest College of Art. And the special guest this year with us also is Birgitta Hosea. Hello to all of you.
Hello.
Hey.
So these are two animation festivals that are very light on, I believe, princesses and talking animals. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but there are going to be a lot of interesting avant-garde boundary-pushing things to see. And I wanted to start off, Ben, let's talk about Overlapping Action, because this is something that you started, I believe, back on the East Coast.
Yeah.
In Boston, which was almost the namesake of our town, except for a coin flip.
Yeah.
and you're bringing it. Is this the first year that you've brought Overlapping Action to Portland?
So this is the second edition of Overlapping Action that I will be screening in Portland. The first one I did was back in October and November this past fall, and did a pretty couple screenings in a few different venues using local animators as well as some Boston animators. And we have a crew that kind of submits from New York City, occasionally LA, not so much anymore.
I heard Australia.
Yeah, we finally have an Australian animator on the team. It's pretty awesome.
And some local folks as well. Now tell us about the clip that we played at the top of the show. It was called Individual, Nathan Sonnenfeld.
Yeah, Individual by Nathan Sonnenfeld is this great little short film. He is a hand-drawn animator, so this film is hand-drawn animation. And the clip that we played from the film basically describes a bit of a narrative that the audience gets drawn into before, while watching the clip, you'll see what really happens and kind of puts that little clip in a bit of a larger context for some humor. It's pretty great. It's pretty funny.
Now, these are all short films, so if people can come in, stay for a little while, and trot out again, come back a little later, and they're not going to miss any narrative threads, really.
Yeah, that's correct. Most of these are pretty short films, some of them as small as almost 10 seconds, some going up to around 5 minutes or so. The whole festival will be one long edit of all those films, and we'll be screening it twice, once at 5 p.m. and once at 7 p.m. So you can come in for the first one, leave, and come back and catch stuff you didn't see the second time.
Now, this is the Po' Boy Art Gallery, which is at the quickly becoming hip Foster Road area of Southeast Portland. And Po' Boy Art, we've had the folks from Po' Boy Art, including Guy Burwell, on the show back when they had a gallery on the top floor of the Pioneer Place Mall. So there's also some rock posters and art prints by Guy Burwell that are on display during the time that you're showing animation.
Yeah, that's correct. There are some pretty mind-blowing illustrations in there. He's got his rock posters that he's done for his commercial art with bands, and then he has some personal works, some original works that he's showing as well. They're beautiful, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think some people will have seen Guy Burwell's work if they've gone to Portland Center Stage. He's done some posters for plays that have been shown there.
Oh, yeah.
And, we want to... So 55th and Foster is where that's happening. And we want to play a little clip from another of the films that are going to be at Overlapping Action. And this is a film by Molly Davis. It's called Ellen, and let's hear a clip from that.
I'll make a decision when I'm ready. Don't ask me when.
You don't know what you want. I can't believe how ungrateful you're being right now after all I've done for you. No, don't. Don't. Don't interrupt me. That is very rude. Let me finish what I'm saying. No. Don't let me finish what I was saying.
Don't want to do this. You can go play with the little kids because I don't have
any more patience to deal with this. I don't care if circumcised.
You've never been here before.
What was that? Do I know you?
Hi.
Hi. So you're...
My name is Ellen. I'm 7 and I like frogs.
So do I. I mean, I did when I was your age. Where did you come from?
I live here.
Here? Is this my mind? Do you live in my mind?
It's our mind, idiot. Can't you tell? We're old versions of you.
This is so weird. Why am I here?
It's because of that douchebag on the train. You're having a stupid panic attack.
That was Ellen by Molly Davis, and you're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm SW Conser, and I'm live in the studio today. We're talking about animation. I'm here with Rose Bond and Birgitta Hosea and Ben Chapin. Ben's project that's playing at the Po' Boy Art Gallery is Overlapping Action. It's a festival. Tell us a little bit about this film that we just heard a clip from, Ellen.
All right, yeah, so we just heard a clip from Ellen by Molly Davis, which is a thesis film, recently completed, freshly being screened. The clip we just heard describes a scenario in which a young woman has a panic attack as she is exposed to some very stressful situations. And as she's having her panic attack, she goes inside of herself and she ends up meeting aspects of herself from her past. And she has to reconcile with them in order to face her anxiety and deal with the stressful situation.
Now, these are themes that animation has been great at handling for, you know, the past century, where maybe live-action narrative film it falls short. Although it's funny to watch live-action film have more and more animated elements to it with computer-generated imagery. But is this something that people will see going through the threads of the films at Overlapping Action? Is you know, themes of things that we deal with in our human life only kind of ramped up, only exaggerated in the ways that animators can really take care of these situations?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this film, Ellen by Molly Davis, is a very good example of that. But throughout the Overlapping Action number 5 that I'll be screening, there are multiple films that are going to be dealing with elements from real life, personal life, perhaps our larger life, the society that we live in. You know, reflecting on that through animation, it's a great medium to express things that it's hard to do with live action. There are also some films that are a little more absurd and do not make as much sense, you know, for good measure, a little humor and nonsense. But yeah, we definitely have some films that express these kinds of real life things for sure.
Maybe some abstract animation?
Definitely a little abstract animation, yeah.
So you don't have a juried kind of situation, juried exhibition here. You really take all comers with this.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm the only one that curates this, so I open the book to pretty much everyone, and at that point I kind of have to filter the results. And I think it ultimately kind of boils down to, like, what am I going to be screening for people? Like, I need to think about that and kind of edit it accordingly. Because I've had times where I haven't had enough submissions and I end up screening that. And then I have times where I have way too many submissions and I need to sort of edit it down so it plays a little bit better.
What inspired you to start your own mini festival? You're calling it a mini festival of animation. five years ago, is that right?
Not exactly 5 years ago. Well, started it in 2015, so
okay.
I've been doing a couple iterations a year type of thing. That's why we're on number 5. But yeah, I started this back in Boston in this animation community that my friends started. And that community, when we started it, was pretty great. It had the professionals and the freelancers, a lot of students, and they would throw events where they would have local and legendary animators come and talk. But I noticed that every crowd was a little bit different. People would come back or not come back, really. That was what I was focusing on. And I was like, man, we need to have a little more cohesion here. This community needs to be a little tighter. So I thought maybe if we have some sort of a thing like a festival, a platform that we can all kind of contribute to and participate in, that'll give us another reason to come together and kind of make our community stronger. And that worked pretty well in Boston. The community's doing pretty good now, and well, I felt it was time to take it somewhere else. Portland's a good spot for that.
So that's the whole idea, is to get folks at the top of their game, and students and people starting out, just working their way through the processes, and to bring it all together in kind of a mishmash.
Yeah, it's one heck of a mishmash at this point.
So is this something that you just feel, you know, like bringing it to galleries, just small spaces, or do you want to expand it? Do you want to make this more of a wide-ranging touring thing?
Well, at this point, I'm building the festival as a touring festival. You know, for example, this iteration, number 5, Combination, that's the theme we're focusing on, is going to be screening at multiple locations in Portland this time. And so with that in mind, I'd love to expand this. I'd love to have this tour in multiple places. Heck, if I could have it kind of Mike and Spike and Mike style and tour across the country, that would be awesome. I would really love to do that.
Well, for now, let's give some of the details about what's happening at Po' Boy Art. It's at 55th and Southeast Foster. And so when does it start? It starts at, what, 2 in the afternoon, something like that?
Yeah, so the event that's going on at the Po' Boy Art Gallery...
And this
Gallery,
is on Saturday, this Saturday, the 12th, right?
Yep, that's correct. This coming Saturday at the Po' Boy Art Gallery on 55th and Foster. The entire show is going to be running from 2 to 8. It's part of the second Saturday Foster Art Walk. And the 2 to 8 bit features Guy Burwell's illustration for the whole duration of the time. Overlapping action will be screening at 5 and 7 p.m., during that time. So you'll be able to see it once at 5, and if you miss it, you can come back and see it at 7. But the rest of the show will be going on the entirety of the time until 8 o'clock.
Now, do you have some web resources that people can go online and find out more about what you're doing and what all of your collaborators in the local animation scene are doing?
Yeah, for sure. For this event specifically, we're on Facebook. We have some events, so you can kind of go on Facebook and look up either Overlapping Action, the Po' Boy Art Gallery, or just type in Everything's Explodin', which is the name of the show, and you can kind of get locked into that event. And then for Overlapping Action, we are on Tumblr, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and we are also working on getting on Vimeo as well. So if you want to see some of the work that we've had in the past at other festivals or just little clips, you can check that out. Most of that's on the Tumblr blog.
And are some of the animators going to be available? Are they going to be on site at Po' Boy? Are they going to have maybe DVDs or anything?
I'm not exactly sure if they will be selling any work. I believe they will be in attendance, so you can show up there and bother them and tell them how much you love their films and ask those burning questions. But, yeah.
So this Saturday, August 12th, Ben Chapin and many animators will be on site at Po' Boy Art, 55th and Southeast Foster for Overlapping Action. And hey, thanks so much, Ben. This is great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we're going to be right back with Rose Bond and Brigitte Hosea in just a moment. We want to listen to a little bit of a soundtrack from the installation that's happening tomorrow, Friday, at the Pacific Northwest College of Art. It's from a Boundary Crossings installation by Taylor Bearden. Thank you. listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and I'm live in the studio today. We were talking with Ben Chapin about his project Overlapping Action, the animation mini festival that's coming up on Saturday. And now we are back with Rose Bond and Birgitta Hosea. They are presenting a animation installation exhibition tomorrow, Friday the 11th at Pacific Northwest College of Art. It's part of the Boundary Crossings. It's a biennial student exhibition, and this particular year, 2017, is called Performing Identity Inside the Outsider. And Birgitta Hosea, you've come all the way from London to be a part of this spectacular. I was there last week or earlier this week when you were presenting some really wonderful short films from the Royal College of Art. And it was a heavily feminist theme, and it was very international.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us. Yes, I'm from the Royal College of Art, but I'm here as a guest tutor, and also I am... Oh, sorry, I've frozen a bit. I'm here as a guest tutor on Boundary Crossings, which is run by Rose Bond. And I'm the guest artist. I've come to set the theme, and we've co-curated this show, which is starting tomorrow night, 6 till 8.
And so you have been coaching so many of these young artists, these students who are creating animated installations. And, well, both of you, Birgitta and Rose, why don't you tell our audience, for those who have not experienced such a thing, what an animation installation is all about?
So Rose can probably talk a bit about the history of Boundary Crossings, and then I can talk about the theme of this year.
Yeah, sure. For people that have been around Portland for a while, you might remember 2007, the Platform International Animation Festival.
That was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Really amazing event in Portland. It was the first time an international festival included a particular competition for animated installation. And nobody knew what that was or what we were going to get. But there was a terrific turnout for that. And again, very international and turned the heads of a lot of people in town. The center for that aspect of Platform Festival was at PNCA. And so my college kind of knew, got an idea of what I was talking about when I talked about animated installation. So when we say animation, a lot of people go to what you were saying.
Yeah, they go to a theater, or they rent something on Netflix.
Right, right, right. And what we see at PNCA is this expanded notion of animation. We see animation or hybrid filmmaking existing on all different kinds of platforms. And this particular institute is 2 weeks. It's intensive. It's made up of really great undergrads, it's graduates, and most importantly, it's practicing artists who want their work to move and really don't want to take a class on cute animals. But they've got this notion, this idea that's time-based and includes some kind of animation. So Boundary Crossings becomes that place to prototype, to workshop, and to have this goal at the end of putting on a public showcase of what you did in 2 weeks. So that's what you'll see tomorrow night, the results of this past 2 weeks. It's really an amazing, for a lot of people, kind of a career-changing, life-changing experience.
Now, some of our listeners may have attended some of the previous, by the way, I'll mention that Pacific Northwest College of Art is in a lovely new building. So you have had this at the previous building, but nowadays it's near the central post office on the park blocks in Northwest Portland. And there's a theater area on the ground floor, which is nice and darkened where all of these things can happen. And, you know, the technology nowadays where there's so much interactive ability. This dovetails well with what you do with installations because people can come in and interact with some of these works.
So this year we've actually got two interactive pieces in the exhibition, but it's not all about technology. The technology doesn't have the central focus in what we're doing. We were interested in ideas and themes. So this year we started out with the idea of how can you understand another person's reality? And we sort of talked about this earlier on with the film in the festival. So can we express our personal identities without using verbal language? Can animation be used to express private inner worlds? And if so, you know, why should an audience be interested in your own personal experiences? So we were talking about all this with the students, and we looked at the idea from the theorist Judith Butler that our own identities are so fragile that they need to be constantly reaffirmed through repetitive rituals. So, for example, like, if you want to be a real man, you want to walk like a man. And that's something that you would do to confirm your identity. And actually, animation's really the perfect art form to look at the personal and the subjective, because we're not limited to what is photographed. And we can express thoughts directly from our imaginations. So in Boundary Crossings, we're going even further than just making a short film with this exhibition. Each artist has created a whole little environment and a context in which their animation's displayed. And they've all looked to create a unique experience rather than just a piece of moving image.
While you're talking about expanding what can be communicated beyond verbal language, So animation is perfect for that because there are elements such as symbolism, music. There are visual elements that can really cut across cultures. And, you know, sometimes point up the funny little visual languages that we have in our culture that may not mean the same thing in other cultures.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a way to express ourselves to others. And we talked a lot about what is it to work with an audience? Why would somebody be interested in, you know, what you have to say if it's very personal?
Now, what are some of the experiences that you've had with the students here, you know, coming over from a culture that supposedly has the same language between England and America, but oftentimes there's very different ideas that develop on either side of the pond?
The students are very confident here and very able to express themselves verbally. That's refreshing. And they participate and really interested in each other. Yeah, they've been great, really enthusiastic students.
Well, I've always been impressed with the work that I've seen come out of these exhibitions. And Rose, I think, well, you're really well known. You've obviously taken your installations around the country and over to England. I mean, Birgitta has probably seen some of your building installations of animation over in England, where you've been in Exeter and various places. And I'll mention that these are often projections in windows of buildings that have a narrative, but are usually a wordless narrative with music and sound effects, and are you know, very powerful. So I find that your students tend to be very inspired by the things that they've seen come before, and they come up with, they seem to really work hard to come up with some very fresh ideas.
Right, I think that's just a hallmark of the school, of just trying to look at things fresh, to look at things in this world of a contemporary art scene, in looking at. Just all the different reasons that you might make work. A lot of people in animation come in with that overriding entertainment concept. But there's this art world. There's this world of activism. There's this world of just finding personal expression. There are so many voices that aren't heard. And so finding the medium, and such a versatile medium. My work is drawing and then ends up in a computer and moves through all these different stages. And what we're finding at PNCA with our students is a lot of them still like the handwork.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets into the computer at some point in most cases. And yet in the show tomorrow night at PNCA, you'll see some early optical kind of devices made contemporary. So
optical, yeah. As in maybe
zoetrope type,
yeah.
Ideas of the sequenced image brought into sort of a fresh context.
Going back to the days, maybe even before film, early animation was done on discs where looping animation could be seen by spinning various devices like a zoetrope.
Right, exactly.
And the theme this year is performing identity inside the outsider. Now, we've talked a little bit about how verbal language is not quite adequate to the task, but maybe you can describe some of the installations that really point up what that theme is all about and what you're really striving for with performing identity inside the outsider.
You know, I think a lot of people, when you start scratching this area, it can be a little tough to face yourself, face some things that happen and whatnot. And so it's really a process. And I think that's one of the things that Birgitta did so well, just setting this tone on day one, that we don't go from, I'm an artist, I have this great idea, and then tomorrow, there it is. It really is this whole time of really not knowing. And the ability or the practice of trying things. I tell my students, you know, your creative act is when you put the pencil to the paper. It's not having the idea in your head. That could be just a daydream. So it's getting those ideas and then trusting that they will evolve.
Sometimes I think many animators, especially the very personal ones, practice a sort of art therapy in bringing these deep unconscious things to the surface. It reminds me of some of the stuff that, some of the people who study Carl Jung and have seen the Red Book, you know, where he brings these mandalas forward, you know. So, and again, like you said, some of these things that can't be expressed in language, they can really be expressed well visually.
We wanted to get away from something that was very sort of selfish and autobiographical and get more into something that would relate to a community. How is your identity reflecting your community? So people are looking at what is it to be queer, maybe? What is it to be Chinese and living in Portland? So we've tried to broaden it out from the purely personal to looking at the roles people are taking and the communities that they belong to.
And I saw that very distinctly in the films that you showed from the Royal College of Art, that there were stories that were personal but were also coming from refugee communities or blended communities.
At the Royal College of Art, we have a very international student base. So we have students from all over the world, and they have many different stories. And as Rose said earlier, there's so many stories that aren't represented in animation. There's so many people whose stories just aren't told. And to me, that's very important, that those voices should be heard, and animation should be a great way to tell them.
Well, Rose, can you tell all of our listeners how to get involved and come out and see the Boundary Crossings installation exhibition, Performing Identity Inside the Outsider?
All they need to do is show up tomorrow at PNCA, 511 Northwest Broadway, and you want to park on the west side of the building. The MediaTek is the place to go. It's air-conditioned. We'll be having, you know, a nice hosted hosted little setup there for people, and it's a great time to see new work, emerging artists, to see ideas almost in development, and it's very diverse. I mean, you were talking about Jung and all that, but there's like wry humor. There's people are doing some really smart things nowadays, so yeah. Please come.
Is there information on the website, pnca.edu?
Yeah, you can find it, social media. And if you're interested, PNCA Animated Arts is well represented on Vimeo. So Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, Boundary Crossings,
well,
PNCA.
Thank you so much. Rose Bond and Birgitta Hosea, you're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Conser, and I've been live in the studio today talking about animation festivals, avant-garde and independent. We also want to thank Ben Chapin, whose mini-festival Overlapping Action is going to be at the Po' Boy Art Gallery on Saturday. Thanks to all our guests today again. Thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and at kboo.fm. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter @wordsandpicture.